I'd like to point out that this research is done not only by Texas Tech University, but also researchers with a joint appointment at the Texas AgriLife Extension and Research Service, as well as it would not have been possible without the help of Jorge Carisma with Monsanto Company. Okay, to give you a little background on common water hemp, it's an annual species, much like Palmer amaranth, that is found commonly in cotton production fields. Like Palmer amaranth, it has both male and female flowers, and so it requires cross-pollination to produce seeds. And as a pigweed, it has an aggressive growth habit that can cause harvest losses due to competition for resources during the growing season, as well as interference with harvest at the end of the season. Currently, in glyphosate-tolerant cotton varieties, Roundup Power Max provides on their label for control of water hemp when the plants are less than 6 inches in height with a 22-ounce per acre rate. And if the plants are between 6 and 12 inches, that rate is bumped up to 32 ounces per acre. Now, the problem started in the coastal bend of Texas when we began seeing some variable control in water hemp. And sometimes this was, you might see a plant that would not be killed with one application and then could be killed with the second application. And then other times, it was more like in the photo here where you can see plants that were killed, obviously, and then some that survived. And we know that a lot of the causes of variable control can be due to a lot of things. Some of these are application factors, where we're just looking at maybe too low of herbicide rate, producers trying to cut their rates in order to save a little money. Other times, the weeds might be larger than they should have been at application. And then sometimes it's just due to equipment problems, you know, clogged nozzles, that type of thing. Also, sometimes we have to look at climatic factors. Was there a rainfall event that washed that herbicide off? Or was the relative humidity too low at that time to adequately uptake the herbicide? Other times, temperatures can be very important, particularly in a system that has an enzyme inhibition, such as in the glyphosate system, because temperatures can affect how enzymes bind with the herbicide. And sometimes extreme drought stress or temperature stress can cause weeds to become stressed themselves, resulting in poor efficacy of the herbicide. Other times it's just weed factors, such as a dense stand where you don't get a good coverage of the weed, or a new flush of weeds that comes up after your application and so miss that actual herbicide application. And this can be particularly important in contact herbicides like glyphosate, where you wouldn't have any residual control. In this study, however, five plants were identified in a field that had survived applications that had been made three times during the growing season. The first one was a 30-ounce per acre at planting at the end of March. The second one was a 22-ounce per acre at the end of April, followed by a 22-ounce per acre in mid-May. So the seed on these plants were allowed to mature naturally and then were collected the first part of July and then allowed to dry naturally for use in the studies. So these seeds were broadcast in flats that contained universal potting media towards the end of August and then watered to obtain some germination. And then about 2 weeks after planting, when the progeny was less than 6 inches tall, so it would fall into that 22-ounce per acre rate, Roundup Power Max was applied at four different rates, representing a half X, 1X, a 2X, and a 4X. And these were applied in just a standard greenhouse sprayer calculated to deliver 10 gallons per acre using Turbo T 11 double-aught 15 spray tips and a PSI of 28. Okay, this image just gives you an idea of what those plinths look like. This is a fairly close-up image, but included the measurement so that you could see that these plinths were less than the 6-inch height. So the tallest plinth in each of the flats was selected. Okay, to set up this table for you, you'll notice that on the left-hand column is the rate. And so you can see that ranging from the half X to the 4X rate. And then within those, the 5 different plants that the parental plant lines. And you'll see that the center column is the initial count of plants. And we had different germination rates depending on which parental plant it came from. You'll notice that plant 6B, our germination rates were extremely low in that plant. And then we calculated the survivors 12 days after treatment, and then followed by the percentage of survivors. What you will notice is that at the half X rate, we're still seeing anywhere from 60 to almost 90% survivors, which you would expect survivors because we're dealing with not a full label rate. As you continue up into the 1X range, you can see that even in that range, we're still having around 80% survive in some cases. And then even 2X and 4X, we're still seeing, in some cases, around 60 to 70% survival rate. This graphic just illustrates this a little bit better, the same data, where you can see that the 6B population is the line on the bottom. So this is the one that kind of tailed off. We didn't have very many, a very large population to begin with. As you look into the middle two lines, you'll notice that that's the 1A and B population, where you're starting to see fewer survivors as those rates increase. And then the 6A and C populations maintain their survival rates. So to give you an idea of what we mean in terms of survival versus control, you'll see that there are dead plants. So these would have been the ones controlled, and obviously the ones that were not controlled are thriving at this point. So the next 5 slides, I'll just quickly show you what each of these different progeny look like. This is the 1A line. You can see some of the dead plants throughout the flat, and then obviously survivors that are beginning to outgrow the herbicide treatment. The 1B population didn't look quite as healthy. You'll notice in the 6A population here, those are beginning to get quite tall. And so these are only about 4 weeks after they were initially planted and 2 weeks after treatment. The 6B population, this is when we didn't actually have any survivors at the 4X rate. These are the only survivors that I kept from the 1X and 2X rates. And you'll notice that they're still quite small, not looking very healthy. But the most impressive line was the 6C, where these plants are only 4 weeks tall, and they were in a greenhouse setting towards the end of August, so that photo period was beginning to shorten. And so you can see that they are already beginning to put on flowers. Okay, so what we were beginning to notice is that there was obviously some being controlled, some not being controlled. So we began to look at this from a genetic standpoint. And so we wanted to do a chi-square analysis of these surviving progeny, trying to figure out their homozygosity level. So at a p-value of 0.05, we determined that in the 1A population, we were probably looking at a scenario where one of the parents was wild type in both alleles, and then the other parent was wild type, and then had possibly a new allele in that position, resulting in about 50% survival rate. And this held true for the 1B population. In the 6A population, we believe that both of the parents probably had this new allele position. So we were looking at 25% being homozygous for this new allele and 50% being heterozygous. We were unable to determine the zygosity in the 6B population just because we had so few survivors. But the 6C population was much like the 6A population, where we're looking at homozygous or heterozygous parents and then 25% of the survivors being homozygous for the new allele. So we wanted to obtain a more homozygous population, so these F1 progeny from each parent were allowed to cross-pollinate, and they were only cross-pollinated within each population, so we were maintaining that population independently. Those F2 seed were collected, and what we noticed was is that we were seeing a lot of germination failure. We were unable to get these seeds to germinate, and so that suggested to us that we might have some dormancy issues. So part of the research that we're working on right now is to cold treat these seeds, to release that dormancy, and then begin looking at more in-depth studies where we'll actually plant the seed in pots and then thin them to 3 plants per pot. And we'll also include glyphosate-susceptible and a known glyphosate-resistant biotype we obtained from Missouri as positive and negative controls. And we'll use a randomized block design for this experiment. And then we're actually going to treat the plants at rates from 0 to 12x. And obviously estimate that visual control once again 2 weeks after treatment, and even measure the plant height and weight for comparison. This will allow us to create dose response curves to determine those I50 values for each lineage, including the susceptible and resistant biotypes, because we want to compare to see how these lines are doing against ones that we know are resistant. So if we determine that resistance is not an issue, then we've got to search for what is that variability in control, what's going on there physiologically within the plant. But obviously, if resistance is determined, then we'd start looking at the obvious things like mutations in the gene, not only in the active region, but in the transit peptide. Of course, look at uptake, translocation, metabolism, sequestration. And then a couple of novel ideas. One is a concept known as enzyme promiscuity, where another enzyme can actually be promoted to perform that function that EPSP synthase normally undertakes. And then also things like RNA upregulation. So at this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Questions?
What, in this particular year or in prior years? That was this year. Well, actually, Jorge would probably be the best one to answer that because it's his research field. So he's done a lot. I mean, I think he probably knows. I'll let him answer that. Yes.
Any other questions? Let's take our speaker.